Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome back to How Are You, the Wellbeing Podcast. Today's episode is quite a special one for a couple of reasons. Firstly, I'm sad to say that this is the last episode for the foreseeable. Series 4 of the podcast has been amazing. The guests have been incredible, and I've even had my podcast cover on the side of a lorry driving up and down the country. I'm so proud of what this podcast has given to its listeners: hope, encouragement, insight, advice, and laughter. But as I embark on a new venture as a life coach, I'm taking a short break. The good news is that despite being the final episode, today's guest is one rather close to me. He's a leading fitness trainer in the UK. He's a fitness expert for GQ magazine. He's a men's health cover star. He's a business owner of live platform and soon to be app Get It Done. He has raised thousands and thousands for charity, and he is the best uncle and brother. It's Bradley Simmons.
Right, Con.
Hi, Brad.
I'm excited. Fine, about time you asked me to be on your podcast.
Saving the best till last. Well, I just thought you've been on so many podcasts talking about like how your career started and stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, you've got your book, it's got all of it there. And before this was called Growing Up Female, so you couldn't have been on it anyway. But now it's How Are You and it's more inclusive. I just thought, well, it's perfect because it's also about well-being and a lot to do with mental health. And I know you're massive on that and it's really important to you. So we're going to talk more about that, to be honest. I feel like now I'm your sister, I can be a bit braver with my questions and get a bit more personal.
Are you going to go into life coach mode?
No. I'm not. I'm just going to, I think it'll just be really, really helpful for your followers and young men. That's what I want. That's what I want to achieve from this podcast, is just people to like just realize that, you know, you might have followers on Instagram, but you're building a business and there's a lot of pressure there and you're still a guy who has feelings. And, you know, when you're going through a breakup, it's hard. You've lost a friend because of mental health, you know, like you're a human being. So we're going to talk lots about that. But first question I always ask my guest is, how are you?
I am in a positive mindset. As you know, my head hasn't been in the right place for a couple of months now. But I went for a really nice walk to the cliffs in Eastbourne, which was amazing. The cliffs in Eastbourne is incredible. If anyone wants to go there and needs a little escape, it's got to be done. And we went to the Peak District as well. So I've had a nice little break from London. I'm excited. I'm going to Ibiza in a couple of weeks. So things are looking positive. Business is good. I can't complain about that. I'm looking to move from Ealing, where we live, where I've always lived. So I'm excited for a new chapter. So things are looking good.
Yeah, I think what you highlight there is how important change is. Sometimes it can be really scary to embark on change, but how necessary is it to sometimes just make a change in life and you know, experience something new?
Oh, massively. So many of us live in our comfort zone because it's comfortable. A lot of people are scared of what if. But I've always been, you know me, Connie, I've always come out of my comfort zone straight away. I've always thrown myself at the deep end. So I'm in a situation now where things are comfortable and I do need a change. You know what mum's like? She's a bit worried about, it's a bit expensive moving to Chelsea or Battersea. I said, mum, don't worry about that. It's fine.
Yeah, I think you're very much someone that just jumps in the deep end and you worry about it later. Sometimes it can bite you on the bum, but I guess it's always a learning curve, right?
Yeah, 100%. Many times it has bit me on the bum, especially with the app situations. I've lost a lot of money creating apps and not going the right way. But these lessons are crucial to make sure that you grow and become successful in the future.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are scared of failure, but it's not failure if it's a lesson and you learn from it and you go again. You know, it's all about mindset, right? And how you actually see it. I think it's only failure if you give up.
Yeah, of course. And I always say to people, you can always go back to that comfort zone if things don't work out.
Yeah.
This is what I say to all personal trainers when they ask for my advice. I said, you enjoy working at Virgin Active or Fitness First or wherever it is, but it's your comfort zone. I said, why don't you go freelance, get yourself out there? If it doesn't pay off for the next 6 months, you can always go back to Virgin Active Fitness First. And I think that's like any industry. If you want to go for your dreams, if you want to aim higher, go for it. If it doesn't pay off, go back to what you were doing before.
Yeah, or just look at options. Like, there's always options in life. I think a lot of people feel like they're stuck. I'm stuck, like...
Yeah.
But if you actually sit down and really analyze your options, there's so much options out there. Nobody is stuck. Like, there's a quote that's like, you're not a tree.
Yeah.
You're not stuck. Exactly. You can move. So it's just allowing yourself to sit down and actually write down your options. I find that really useful to just sit down and like write pros and cons to potential opportunities that are out there in your options. And some of them might seem really far-fetched, but if you don't dream big...
Yeah.
Like me and James, our oldest brother, we always laugh about Bradley because he'll be looking at like £5 million houses and he's like, oh, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, that's my aim. That's my aim. And me and James are like, it's amazing. Like he so believes it that it will happen.
Yeah.
And do you think that's where a lot of your success comes from, is that you really do believe that you're capable and you work hard and things just happen for you?
Yeah, no, of course, I have a massive vision and it's just putting that plan to place. You're probably a lot better than me at writing things down and having it in front of you. I just go for things and, again, if it bites me in the ass, it bites me in the ass. So that's something I definitely need to improve on. But I guess I've got a good team, including yourself. I've got good support around me to help me with these visions to become a reality. But we're getting there. I still believe I'll get that £5 million house.
Yeah, so...
It's just got to save for that 25% deposit, which is the tough
bit. Yeah, of course. For people that don't know, I've worked for Bradley for like 5 years now.
Well, it's our first experience started at GCC level.
Okay, yeah. So basically, Bradley used to pay me to do his coursework. So Bradley, you're a very practical person, right? So you're... Academically, you're pretty, like, would you say average?
I'd say average. I got B's in GCC, so that's average, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I did your coursework, which helped boost those grades.
Only in English. I definitely struggled in English. I had tutors and all sorts. But as I've got older, to be fair, my English has definitely improved. When I was younger, I did struggle.
You said to me recently, you wish you read more, right?
Yeah, and I've started to read. I enjoy reading newspapers. Books I struggle with. I really do struggle with reading books, but life books is quite good, to be fair. I've started to read a few life books, and that's been helpful.
Oh, look, like written by coaches?
Yeah.
Because that's really good for your mindset, right?
Yeah, of course. And just to make sure that I'm not being a headless chicken with my ambitious side.
Like you highlight there, it's important to surround yourself with the right people, people that are going to support you. They're going to notice things that you don't notice. And you've got to be open to constructive criticism in life, don't you?
Yeah. When I was younger, to be fair, I really struggled. I'd block that out and just go, oh, no, I know what I'm doing. But now, as you mature, you've got to take that criticism board and just kind of reflect and go, hang on a minute, they've probably got a point. But yeah, so I started obviously personal training at the age of 20 and I was training the likes of John Terry, Theo Walcott, Brendan Rodgers, Jamie Redknapp. These are big names at the age of 20, 21. Do you know what I mean? That was young. I was driving around in my smart car. 7 years on now, I guess I'm very experienced, very knowledgeable. I've got my own business and it's doing really well. So I just got to keep going.
Yeah, keep going. So you mentioned that you've struggled with your mental health the last few months. Obviously lockdown was really tough for everyone. It was like, that was an unexpected change. It kind of was out of everyone's control. So it's a different kind of change. Your live workouts just like was a massive distraction. Do you think you had might've had a bit of a delayed response to lockdown and being indoors and seeing your four walls all the time? Do you think you've had a bit of a delayed reaction to that?
Yeah, massive delay, because when lockdown first happened, I quickly adapted. I said, what am I going to do to keep active? And I started doing my live workouts. And because I got such a good reaction and I grew to 100,000 followers, I was getting 5,000 people doing my live workouts every day. I wasn't just such a buzz. Do you know what I mean? I was like, wow, this is sick. I was really enjoying it. I was waking up every single day. But now 2 years down the line, it's now taking its toll where I'm still doing my live workouts. It's exhausting. I've recently just gone through a breakup, which was really tough. Which I wasn't expecting to happen. So yeah, it's been last few months, it's been overwhelming, I guess, because the business is growing, which is great. But of course, you've got to make decisions. You've got to work hard behind the scenes, which people don't see. And obviously going through a breakup whilst doing that is tough because it can play with your emotions big time. So it's good to be honest though, because a lot of men out there like will pretend that they're happy that they've broken up. Mine was really tough and it's taken me a while to get over it, but I feel like I'm ready to get over it now and move on.
So talking about the breakup, obviously we won't go into details. What I want to talk about is the fact that you're a guy admitting that you found a breakup hard. That you don't see often. So many guys act like, oh yeah, well, I didn't give a shit anyway. I want to give it the big un, because men love to, you know, pretend that they're okay and they're brave and they're big and they're strong. How important is it for men to start breaking down this barrier and to like just realize that like it's completely human to feel sad and gutted and a bit heartbroken?
Yeah, massively. And I remember experiencing breakups before where I was the guy who said, yeah, I'm going to go out now to get loads of girls. It's like, oh, what a laugh we're going to have. And then a few months, four or five months down the line, then you start actually feeling really upset because you've kind of put it in the locker and you've locked it away. So for now, I've realized, no, do you know what? I'm going to take the emotions on right now and then talk and be freely about how I speak to people and tell them about it. And to be fair, loads of people have helped because so many people have gone through the same situation. So when I spoke to some of my guys, they said, yeah, mate, I've been there. So that's been helpful. Don't go on there. There's been some of my mates like, oh, mate, don't worry. You're going to go. You can be with loads of worldies now. You can enjoy yourself. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that side of things as well, which I actually haven't really taken on board. I think it's been good just to really just be upset. It's okay to be upset and it's okay to talk out. And it's been helpful, to be fair, because now I know I'll be able to get over it. And then it's 5 months down the line, I'll be more happy and I'll forget about it rather than pretending I'm really happy and then 5 months down the line, really struggling.
I admire you for that because you're, again, learning from past experiences, which is really important. And secondly, you've highlighted how much people just assume that you're just going to get loads of birds because you're Bradley Simmons and you've got followers and you're a good-looking guy. But, like, again, you're human. You were really in love with someone and, like, that doesn't mean, like, it's... You're not... Like, I can't explain, but you're not immune to that. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not just like, you can't just forget about that.
No, of course. And don't go wrong, there probably will be a time where I'm going to be excited to be single again. And times will be good. And obviously I'll create good memories with my friends and stuff again. That will definitely happen. But for now, it's just about working on myself. Like you said, like I've read these books, start to love as yourself, because I definitely lost confidence for sure. So it's about building that confidence again. Instead of pretending I'm really confident and really happy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think another thing you've done is you're really focusing on the other relationships in your life. It's really important to not rely on romantic relationships to not feel lonely. You obviously live alone, you're in roots. It's obviously been locked down. You haven't been able to see friends and like just be free. But now things are relaxing. You seem to be focusing a lot on your friendships with females, with males. You're seeing Mum, Macy. Me and you had a nice breakaway. You've obviously got the two brothers. And I feel like you're focusing on those relationships and they're giving you the company that you need rather than worrying about being in a relationship.
No, 100%. 100%. And I've got to remember, I'm only 27 as well. So I'm still young. Still got... plenty of time. And yeah, I love spending time with you, with the family, and also making new relationships with friends. And there's a lot of, and females as well. I can easily go and spend a day with a female and it doesn't have to be romantic. And I think that's just me maturing. I think it's my job title as well, because obviously I'm a personal trainer. I've trained so many females where I've just been friends with them. All right, they might be very good looking and people might just assume, oh, okay, two good looking people, they're definitely going to get together or be together. That's not always the case. You can be friends with the opposite sex and not have that romantic thingy. So yeah, so people like Naomi Smart, for example, she's incredible. We get on, we meet up very often and we have a good laugh. But again, it's not necessarily that boyfriend-girlfriend vibes, which is, I guess, is quite rare. I guess it could be quite rare, but I think it's just my job title, the experience I've had with so many female clients in the past.
Yeah, and maturing as well. As you get older, you realise you can be friends with people of the opposite sex and it's not all silly. And I guess, yeah, again, like a hairdresser, a personal trainer, most of your clients have been women and you've almost been like a therapist or a coach for them, a massive support for them. And that brings me on to Caroline, who was a really good friend of yours. Obviously, we're touching on mental health. I also want to talk about social media and the effects that has on people's body image and stuff like that. But before we do, just want to touch on Caroline and how that affected you, and how going away, doing the Climb for Caroline has helped you. But do you honestly feel like it feels real yet? I personally, as your sister, don't know whether it's really sunk in properly yet, because we've never lost anyone close.
Yeah, it was very, very strange, to be fair. And don't get me wrong, I think about Caroline all the time. Like recently, obviously with England playing and Sweet Caroline song, every 5 minutes is going off. All I can think about is Caroline and like, oh, what a shame she's not here to experience this. So yeah, when she passed away, it was this complete massive shock. I didn't really believe it because Caroline, like, I trained her for the whole year prior to that and we had such a good relationship and had so many funny memories. Yeah, it was just a massive shock. And obviously I felt like if I would have been there for her, kept on training her prior to that, during that, what happened, then things might have been different. But it's tough when it is what it is. But the Climb for Caroline recently was so nice to get with all her friends. And to do that experience together in memory of Caroline and to raise loads of money and raise awareness was incredible. Felt like we gave something back. And hopefully she was watching down and she was super proud of all of us and was laughing with us.
She definitely was. She definitely was. And I also think you have to remember, Caroline knows that you were always there for her, even though you couldn't train. The reason why you couldn't train her wasn't because you didn't want to. It was just different work priorities. It was nothing personal. And you were both in contact still as friends over text and over the phone. So she knew you were there. I guess it's when someone's in that frame of mind, you know, it's really hard for everyone. Everyone thinks they could do more. But, you know, I've never been there, so we don't know what she was thinking.
No, that was my first wake-up call. Like, wow, mental health is really... It's dangerous, you know, it's a problem. And my good friend, who's a footballer actually, has recently been struggling with his mental health, which was a big shock to me because he, like myself, was always really up, loved playing football. And he suffered with loads of bad injuries and he suffered a bad year, bad experience. And he really struggled to the point where he was on medication. So that, again, was a big wake-up call. And that's what made me realise, hang a minute, where I'm burning the candle at both ends with my business, and I've really got to look after myself. Do you know what I mean? Because I could eventually, that could be me. If that's going to be my friend who I thought was always strong, that could be me also. So that's why I am happy to talk about it and to face mental health, because I don't never want to be in that situation. So that's why when people see me doing these adventures with Roots, going on these long walks and stuff, that is to prevent me burning out. All right, I might be exercising, but it's allowing my brain just to relax. Do you know what I mean? Because having a good business and successful and you're earning good money is great, but that doesn't always make you feel happy. Do you know what I mean? And that's another lesson I've learned. And I knew that anyway because I've trained billionaires. I've trained millionaires. Like, I've had clients who've taken me to Monaco, Barbados, been on yachts. I've seen the lifestyle they have. But majority of those people are unhappy and they're still searching for something to keep them happy. So I do realize now that money, yes, it makes you comfortable. It can give you some great experiences because you can afford it. You can have materialistic stuff. But at the end of the day, money massively doesn't make you happy. So, so it's all about having the right people around you and just making sure you create good memories and they don't have to be expensive ones, like going to the cliffs in Eastbourne, which cost me, £40 in petrol. Fish and chips cost me a tenner. Do you know what I mean? It was a cheap day out. And it was great.
Yeah. I love that. I love all these lessons. I was actually going to ask you what it taught you, but you've just like said it perfectly.
It's definitely- yeah. Don't get me wrong. I still want the £5 million house, but it's not essential like I thought it was.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to still want nice things. Like,
yeah, of course.
Everyone's different. Everyone has different goals. But I think what's really important is to highlight that your goals in life shouldn't just be about materialistic things. Goals in life should be like, you know, working on, I want to make sure that I, you know, work on my mental health every day. Like things like that. Travel the world, you know.
Yeah, well, I've got a prime example. So I sometimes train in a gym in on the King's Road. I always walk past this really cool trainer shop where they've got all the Air Jordans and stuff. And because it's such a trend right now, it's like, well, if it's part of the trend, I guess I've got to get a pair to be part of that trend. Don't necessarily like them. They don't necessarily suit me. And I had it on my feet and I was looking at the mirror and I said, these are £450 trainers, right? And I was looking at the mirror and I was thinking, what am I doing? Just to be part of the trend? I was like, I don't necessarily like them. I know they're way too expensive for a pair of trainers. Do you know what? I went into Reese and got myself a nice pair of £100 trainers, which I wear most days because I love them. Do you know what I mean? And not many people might go, oh, they're nice. Where are they from? Like they would with Air Jordans. But for me, it's not about materialistic things at all anymore. Like it probably was when I was younger. Don't get me wrong. I still like, one day I want to get myself a Daytona Rolex, and there's nothing wrong with that because that's the goal I've set myself and that's my favorite watch. But it doesn't have to be the £30,000 one with diamonds on it. It can just be a nice chilled one. Do you know what I mean? And that's what's
yeah.
like.
Yeah, exactly. You do you. Like, money can't buy taste or style. It can't buy happiness. So at the end of the day, stick to what suits you, stick to what you like, and you'll be happy. You'll feel confident. Like
100%.
It's like me, like, you know, I'm a mid-sized fashion, size 14. I don't wear crop tops and mum jeans are in fashion. If I walked out in a crop top and mum jeans, I wouldn't feel confident, happy, wouldn't suit me. Like, so I don't do it, you know? I don't try and be something that I'm not.
No, and I think materialistic people attract materialistic people, which then can be quite toxic.
Because they're not genuine people. Or genuinely happy.
Genuinely happy or just genuine people in my eyes, materialistic yeah. people, because they're in a bubble. They're not realizing what life is actually all about.
Yeah, they're lost in this like fake world of fake happiness and fake fulfillment. You don't find that in a Louis Vuitton handbag or a pair of Chanel sliders.
No, of course not.
I think social media has a lot to answer for when it comes to all this materialistic stuff, because so many content creators, influencers, you know, they do like, oh, they're unboxing their Chanel new Louboutin boots. And like, there was one influencer that was like, my autumn essentials. And they were like £3,000 leather boots for autumn. Like, how is that an essential? And I think it's making people who aren't in that industry or don't have money feel like they need that.
Yeah, but what they're doing is they're attracting the youngsters who haven't grown up or matured yet. But people their age group will probably go, what are they doing? But the youngsters are following. Do you know what I mean? That's the dangerous thing about social media. It's been a role model to the youngsters.
Yeah. It's, I think, yeah, they're so impressionable. And we were lucky. We didn't, when we started Instagram, we created Instagram as a business. We never had it as a personal thing, really, maybe for a couple of months, but it's always been our business.
Yeah.
I've never really been like a consumer or like, I don't go and sit on Instagram as a consumer. I go there, do my, like business, interact with followers like you, and then I come off it and I like enjoy my life. And I feel like that's protected me being on the other side, because I know what it's like on the other side and the reality of it all. And I think that has protected us. But one thing social media has done is it's really affected people's body image. And there's been a massive increase in negative body image amongst young men. And there's been a massive increase in eating disorders amongst young men. We know it's obviously prolific in women and girls, but it's rising in men. Why do you think social and steroid use? Yeah, that's all to do with poor body image and fad dieting and all of that. And it's really affecting men as well. Why do you think social media is doing that? Why is there a link there?
Well, because social media showcases is the best bodies that they can be, which is the 1%. And I guess you can say I might be in that 1%, but I do it because I do it in a healthy way. I always try and showcase that I do it in a healthy way. I still showcase, I eat fish and chips on my stories, for example. I live a well-balanced lifestyle, but I do train very often. And I guess I got good genetics to the point where my body is good. But people follow the 1%, which is dangerous, you know, and they don't take into consideration that their genetics might not be the same, or they might not have the same amount of time as people like I do. Yes, I train in, that's part of my job. I do 6 live workouts a week. I then quickly do some content, and then I can go to the gym for 2-3 hours and work on my body. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people don't have that time. So people need to be realistic with their genetics and their time.
I'd say 98%. Yeah, I'd say 98% of people don't have that time. And that was one of my questions. Should we be trying to meet the same standards as fitness influencers who do this as a living?
I just think you've got to go, do you know what? I'm going to take what I do, for example, as motivation, as inspiration, and I'm going to do the best I can do with the time I have. Do you know what I mean? I don't expect to look like Bradley Simmons, but I'm definitely going to take his lifestyle into consideration and train 4 times a week, eat healthy. Do you know what I mean? Cut out the alcohol as much as I can, or reduce it. Let's try and sleep 8 hours a night. Do you know what I mean? And make sure I mobilize and stretch. So for me, I don't necessarily say to people, yeah, you can look like me. This is what you got to do. I said, no, you got to do what's best for you. But as long as you give it your best shot, everyone can be healthy. Everyone can be in good shape. It's just about educating yourself and doing the best that you can do in your lifestyle.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you like this podcast, then why not check out one of our other amazing Create podcasts? If you just want a good laugh, then check out The Weekly Roast.
Listen, bitch.
Oh, make an entrance.
I'm a week off sugar.
Big Bear Bill is in the house.
I will fly to the UK and I will cut you both.
For the more cultured ones among you, join Laura Wright for Music in My Life.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm so glad no one can see me right now because I was doing some weird dance moves.
Your head knocking then, yeah.
Well, maybe it's just a good goth you're after. Georgie Porter and Sharon Carpenter are your go-to girls on Loose Lips.
So it's got mine, girth, though. It's got girth.
Yeah,
mine is quite spindly and flaccid.
This is like long.
Just 3 more podcasts to feast your ears on. Find them wherever you found this podcast.
The marketing from fitness influencers was like, look like me. We even had a plan called Lose Weight Like Me, which was my weight loss plan with you. And because I was a normal girl, I was your admin, I was writing a book and stuff, but I was freelance and we worked together every day. So I had that time. I had you training me nearly every day, which was amazing. I mean, I wish I had that now. But when you look back, you think actually, and I thought, like, it's possible. Of course people can lose weight like me in 12 weeks. But now I look back and now I'm a mum and I've got two jobs launching my own business. I'm like, it's not realistic.
That it might take someone 36 weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean, people still can, I'm not saying you can't do it. There's no point in even trying. You still can do it, but it might just take longer or it might take you longer to get into that routine.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. You just got to do
That's you. A really good point. It's changing the your expectations, like adjusting. So being inspired by fitness influencers who are positive role models like yourself, who do it in a healthy way, who promote good eating, like you were saying, steroids, I mean, that's scary. All the fad diets, the booties, all of that is a load of crap. So it's following the right ones, but then also applying it to your lifestyle. Like, don't, because here I've said, like, how would you feel if someone said they're trying to look like you, but they're failing and it's making them feel like crap?
Yeah, I said, well, stop comparing yourself to me. Again, taking your genetics for a fact, taking the time you have, taking your social life. Because for people to look incredibly in shape, you kind of have to sack off your social life. Because social life meaning you eat what you want, you can drink with the lads, etc. Do you know what I mean? And that's not healthy either. You need to find a good balance. Don't get wrong, there's times, because of my lifestyle, because of my job, the boys are all drinking 4 or 5 pints. I'm still drinking soda, water and lime. I don't necessarily enjoy, to be fair, alcohol on a Wednesday, Tuesday night, to be honest, because I know it makes me feel rubbish. It gives me anxiety the next couple of days. So that's another reason why I don't do it. But again, I know, because obviously I've got my body is my job. I always say it, like a dentist, they can't have black teeth, can they? Or a hairdresser can't have a Mohican. As me as a personal trainer.
Well, they can, but it's got to be a good one.
Yeah. But as me, though, I do have to look after my body because I always say to every personal trainer, you've got to make sure you practice what you preach. So you've got to be in good shape, blah, 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 blah.
Marketing. You are an advert for your profession.
Yeah. As shallow as it sounds, as bad as it sounds, no one's going to sign on to my platform if I wasn't in good shape, for example. It's just the way it works.
So that makes me think, should we talk about the body positive movement or is that too controversial?
Well, that's fine. No, we'll just talk about it. Why not? The body positive movement is a tough one because I want everyone to be body positive. Do you know what I mean? I want everyone to be body positive, but I want everyone to be healthy at the same time. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
So, if I'm a body positive person, being devil's advocate, I would say to you, well, it depends what you define as healthy, because you might define healthy as a certain body fat percentage, certain lifestyle, blah, blah, blah. But they might consider it as that balance between social life, having their favorite takeaways and eating healthy 50-50. Like,
yeah.
Does health mean something different to everyone?
Well, you just have to look at the facts and how many people die a year of heart disease, for example, or the obesity rates in this country, which leads to all sorts of things. As an example, like, yes, you might be healthy because you're happy in yourself, but at the end of the day, if you was to get COVID, for example, are you at the most high risk of potentially dying, passing away because of it, because your body can't deal with it? So, yes, it's all about being positive. If you can't, let's say, have a six-pack or you can't look like that model modeling for ASOS, don't worry about it. That's fine. And yes, just accept who you are and the body shape that you've been given, but don't neglect trying to be as healthy and as fit and as strong as you can be. Because when you do try and be as healthy, fit, as strong as you be, because you've got a routine of going to the gym or exercising regularly, eating healthy, that's only going to benefit, one, your health and your mental health. So, yeah, that's what I say to the body image people. Yes, it's great. Keep encouraging people to be body positive and love who they are, accept who they are, but don't encourage them not to exercise or not to eat healthy or, do you know what I mean? That winds me up. That's my only problem with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think health is bringing together your mental health and your physical and finding that balance.
Yeah.
It's also like social, and there's so many aspects that feel your being healthy. And some things make other people tick more than others. Like, some people hate the gym, so it's about
going dancing or going for like the long walks that you do. For me, I love netball. Netball's not just my physical like exercise, but it's my mental. It's just, it's Wednesday, it's midweek, and it's like breaks up my week and keeps me going. So it's finding what works for you as well, isn't it? And I totally agree with you. I'm a very body confident, I advocate body confidence. I don't always feel body confident, and I mainly don't feel body confident when I've had a bad couple of days because I feel sluggish. I've had too much sugar or saturated fats just don't work with my body. They just don't suit me. They make me feel ill. And if I've not been active, like, so I totally agree with you. And I totally believe that to feel totally body confident, you can't just look in the mirror and go, you are beautiful, you are amazing, be body confident. You have to make changes to your life. You have to nourish your body. You have to do, you have to work on it. It does take some work.
Yeah, because I remember I wasn't on a panel. I was listening to a panel at a women's health event one time, and someone, I can't remember who they were. I'm not going to say their name anyway, but they said, don't exercise if you don't want to, don't eat healthy if you don't want to, just love yourself, look in the mirror every day and just tell you how beautiful you are, right? And I thought, okay, so the girls that listen to this talk are probably going to do that for the next week or two, and it's going to cover up, okay, yeah, that's what she said and that's what I'm going to do, and it's going to cover up that deep feeling of I'm still not happy. Do you know what I mean? It might cover up for 2 weeks. I'm like, so how can you make this person happy? And just from a personal trainer's perspective, where I've helped people lose weight, I've helped people improve their diet and their nutrition, and it's given them the confidence to go on dates with guys or go and wear a dress that they would probably never wear before or book a holiday, which they wouldn't have done because they're not feeling at their best. Do you know what I mean? Or having to wear a dress by the swimming pool while all their friends are wearing bikinis. Do you know what I mean? So I know how important it is for your confidence, which is then going to make you happy, to work on yourself and then, yes, lose weight, but do it because it's going to help you with confidence. It's going to help your overall health. And the biggest factor for me is it's going to prevent you from getting ill. Mm.
Yeah, I think, like, obviously speaking positively to yourself and speaking kindly to yourself is great, but you're right. It's like this.
That's just covering up the cracks. That's just covering up the cracks.
The science behind it, like, you know, the facts, the endorphins that exercise releases. And I think where the message is wrong, it's because it's almost like people don't like being told what to do. They don't like being told that they're unhealthy or whatever. They don't like being told go to the gym. So it's more about a message of exercise can be so many different things. Yeah. Like it doesn't have to be going to the gym. And also aesthetic goals, like wanting a six pack, wanting to be a certain body fat percentage or wanting, a bigger shape, bum or whatever, is also different to being body confident and being healthy. That's aesthetic. Yeah. That's all aesthetic. You don't have to have big biceps or a six pack to be considered healthy either, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's
100%. No.
That's also where lines are blurred. Like for me as well, like when you train me, I was so fit. I would go to fitness classes in London and I was the biggest girl there. Even I was a size 12. I've never been smaller than a size 12. Younger than 18, aged 18, because of my genetics and my build, and I love food, which isn't a bad thing either. But I was the fittest one there, and I wasn't even a fitness influencer, and I'm surrounded by fitness influencers, and I was smashing it because you trained me like an athlete. I was fit, I was healthy, but I was a size 12, and it goes to show there is some proof in that size doesn't necessarily mean health either or fitness.
No, but of course not.
But, you know, it's more lifestyle, isn't it? It's more about the lifestyle.
Yeah, no, of course.
So have you ever struggled with your body image? How do you feel? Yeah. Because you must feel so much pressure.
Yeah, especially when I was younger. I've said this on a few podcasts before where there was times that, for example, I went to Ocean Beach and Ibiza and I would constantly make sure the sunlight is on my body. Because when the sunlight's not on my body, you can't see my six pack.
Oh, for God's sake, Brad.
You can see that I'm in good shape. And this is when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just me worrying, thinking, all right, because every picture I showcase on my Instagram, I'm going to make sure that my six pack is showing, like everyone does. Am I going to post a picture where I'm in the dark and you can't see nothing? No, like I might do now because I'm not that fast. But when I was younger, I certainly didn't. So I was worried that people were going to walk past me where my six pack wasn't showing and they were going to call me out or they were going to give me a frown. And do you know what I mean? And that was bad. That was really not healthy. I definitely had times where I had body dysmorphia, I reckon, where I didn't believe my body was good enough, even though everyone's saying to me, wow, you're in incredible shape. And I'd be, I wouldn't say I had an eating disorder, but I would be very, very strict with my diet and I'd probably train twice a day. That wasn't very healthy. But I guess because of Instagram at the time, I had to deal with a lot of trolls who were just very jealous of me. So I kind of almost just wanted that trolling to stop. So I thought, okay, if as long as I get in the best shape possible, no one can say anything. Because I would get guys saying to me, oh, you're not in good shape or you're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. And that used to piss me off. But now I think I just laugh at it. I completely laugh at it. So again, it's about maturing and it's just growing up and it's been part of my journey. Now I couldn't give a toss if someone says to me, oh, you're looking a little bit chubbier than usual. I couldn't care less.
What is wrong with people? It's hilarious. Like, what do you think about those people? Why are they putting those messages out there?
Well, one, they would love to be in my position to begin with. They're obviously very insecure in themselves. So them trolling me, they're going to feel like that's going to help better them. That's going to make them feel better, which it never does. It's just a toxic cycle. And it used to affect me back in the day. Do you remember there was a YouTuber who created a complete whole video of me because he was just jealous of my position? Do you remember that was so bad?
Oh my God, it's so bad. And yeah. Then the other day you experienced in Wembley, someone pouring beer over you.
Yeah, personal trainer. Filming it. Put beer all over me from behind and say, jog on you mug on his Instagram story, which of course other people messaged me on my DMs to let me know what happened. Which is, it just goes to show there are people out there who are just, unfortunately, just quite insecure in themselves. And to be honest, I would love them to succeed. I would love them to snap out of it. And I like them to be secure in themselves that they don't need to do that. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So, yeah, it's a tough one. It's annoying.
Yeah, it's good that you have to... Yeah, I know. I love your confidence in that you say, like, I think they'd love to be in the position that I'm in.
Which is true. They wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't in the position I was in.
Because, yeah, I mean, so many people just want followers and because they just see that it can bring success. But yeah, the hard work that goes into it behind the scenes and the stress and the money you have to invest and stuff, I don't think people realise.
The hard
it's
graft.
Not all glamour.
No.
You've also highlighted that Instagram is full of people's highlight reels. So when you were younger, you'd only post pictures where you're looking your absolute best. Do you mm-hmm. think now you're more open to doing stuff like a picture of you, sun shining on you, you're going to Ibiza in a couple of weeks. I feel like it would be a really good post for you to be like you with your six pack because the sun and then swipe right with no sun.
Yeah.
You know, not tensing and show people that this is how people are naturally, because women do this, Bradley, but we don't see men do this.
Yeah.
You don't see men just being like, well, obviously I'm tensing there. You don't have a permanent six pack unless you're tensing. Like, you have to tense your muscles in order to get that definition.
No, of course. You've got to suck in a little
because
bit as well.
Young men need this. They need this. They need it. They need a role model like you to be real. How important is it to be real and authentic on Instagram now?
Oh, massively. And to be fair, I think I've always been real and authentic, to be fair. I like to think so anyway. That's what a lot of people say to me when they follow me. So you're very real compared to a lot of people on Instagram, which is good. I take that as a great compliment. But it's so, so important. And I think as well, if you want to work with brands, they see that also. So if you do want to be a successful influencer, the more real you are, the more successful you're going to be because more brands are going to want to take you on board and more people will buy into you. People can soon will realize that you're fake for sure. I know so many influencers who are super, super energetic, happy, 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 but they're the worst ones dealing with their mental health. It's really, really sad. So I always make sure that I try and be as real as possible.
Mm. There's a lot of performers, aren't there, on Instagram? A lot of like, really, like, it's almost acting and presenting.
Yeah.
which you absolutely hate, right? You're so bad at it.
I'm so bad at it.
So many times I have to say, Bradley, your voice is monotone. Come on, be like, hi, everyone. But it's just not you. And I love that you're like, it's not me. I'm just going to be myself.
Yeah.
You've auditioned for like TV roles and it's just not for you, is it really?
Yeah. I've had so many people say, you should go on TV. You should be on TV. I said, I don't think TV is for me because I'm not that cheap. I wouldn't say cheesy, that super energetic performer. I guess it is cheesy. Don't get me wrong, if I was put in that situation, I'm sure I'd be able to do it, but I don't think I'll enjoy it. And I know for me to be successful and for me to enjoy what I'm doing, I need to enjoy it. So that's why TV for me, I'm not really that bothered about TV, to be honest. At one point, I was like, I have to do TV. It has to be TV. The only way I'm going to be successful is by doing TV. That's what my management was saying. That's what everyone was telling me I should do. And luckily for me, I've got this new, obviously, online platform, so to the point where I'm not actually bothered about doing TV anymore. Don't get me wrong, if I get asked to do something like SAS, Who Dares Win, or something like that, I'll definitely do it. But, presenting and all that, I'm not that bothered.
Yeah, you'd be so good on SAS.
Yeah.
I reckon it's like you're in that weird, like, middle bit of you're not a celebrity, but you're known, like,
yeah.
So it's like, would you go on the celebrity one? Would you go on the non-celebrity one? It's the same as like Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. I feel like you could go on there, but like,
yeah,
would people be like, who the hell is he?
Yeah, no, a lot of people would be like, who the hell is he? But then my audience would be buzzing that I'm on there, which is 400 plus thousand followers. So,
that's how you grow, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
ITV, if you're listening, Channel 4, if you're listening. No, I think you'd be so good on SAS. That would be a really good one.
Yeah.
Because you are mentally strong and physically, I think you'd be quite a good contender. Another thing I wanted to talk about was because ads. I want to talk about ads on Instagram. We're rounding up the podcast soon, but I just wanted to quickly talk about it because we have other sources of income, which is great. Like, we realise that just relying on Instagram is just not a reliable, sufficient way to live.
Yeah.
It's stressful. It's a lot of pressure.
I did my personal training, but then the money I was receiving from ads or brand deals were so good that I didn't have to do personal training anymore. But then it got really stressful to the point where I'd be ringing up my manager. Is that deal done? Is this coming in? Like, when are you going to get me another job? And it gave me anxiety because obviously I've got bills to pay. I've got goals. I want that £5 million house, remember? So it became really anxious for me. So now I've become more of an entrepreneur. That anxiety of when's the next deal coming, it doesn't even come to my head. It's like a bonus when I get a message saying, blah, 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 wants to work with you. This is how much it's going to be. Do you want to do it? And don't get me wrong, I understand that my followers don't like ads. They really don't like ads. The engagement drops massively as soon as I do an ad. I'll go from, let's say, 60,000 views on my stories to 12,000 views as soon as I put an ad up because people just aren't interested. And to be fair, though, I was really anxious about that because I was like, what if Under Armour don't like it? What if my protein don't like that? They've taken me aboard. They put so much support with me. And they're going to see that, they're going to be let down. But they actually realize what it is. That's simple. Well, when I'm watching stories myself, it's bad, but the influencers who I love following, when they do an ad, I just quickly pile them off as well. So it's just a normal, natural thing. But it is important that we do support our favorite influencers or people in Instagram. If you like their free content, make sure you do support them with their ads as well, because it helps them obviously earn their money. To be fair,
I'm gonna say, I guess it's like on TV, like BBC, there's no adverts and it's like led. You can watch like a drama series and it doesn't get stopped. But like Channel 4, ITV, the ads come on and you're like, oh, God's sake, oh, ads. And like, you go up, go to the toilet, cup of tea. You don't sit there and watch the ads. And it's the same as Instagram. Like, to really engage people in the ads, it's got to be spectacular. And the engagement does go down. I find like with my fashion ads, they do the best because you can physically see the dress on me and people can see themselves in it. I find it hard and I find it frustrating because my followers are amazing and so supportive and my engagement is great as well. And then you do an ad and you're like, guys, where are you? Support me. Like, and you know.
I know. It's frustrating, but it is what it is. I've just accepted now. So when I do an ad, I just leave my phone on and I don't let it give me anxiety or stress anymore like it used to. But I do say, and you do as well, Connor, I say no to so many jobs. I say no to so many jobs. One, because it doesn't match with my brand. And for example, I don't need to showcase a car freshener. Do you know what I mean? And there's so many things I turn down weekly, which I could earn a lot more money than I do if I did all of it. But I know my just Instagram would turn into a billboard or an advertising.
Yeah. I mean, you've turned down big money as well because the brand doesn't fit, right? I think that's what another thing, like, people don't realize. I turned down a diet product quite recently, which could have supported me for like a good few months, but
yeah, but it pays your bills, but it kills your branding. You've got to always look after your
brand.
Yeah,
and it's not real, is it? It's not authentic. Yeah. It doesn't feel right. Like, I couldn't do it.
Well, I've always looked after my brand. Like, I got asked to go on Main in Chelsea, got asked to if I wanted to go on Love Island, asked if I wanted to go on Celebs Go Dating. I've been asked to do Too Hot to Handle a lot, and money's
and
been
we're talking good, like. It's like £50,000 or more, right?
Yeah, like to do a few, yeah, to do some of them. Yeah, it's mad, and I've always turned it down because, yeah, I'm not in that. I'm never going to put myself in that bracket of Z celebrity. I want to be successful. There's a difference between, and this is another from training celebrities, is I've realized now, like, being famous isn't success. It's not success. Being successful is enjoying what you do, earning good money, and having that freedom to do what you want. That is what success is to me now. Where growing up, everyone just wants to be famous. Do you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, being famous can bring that money and can bring success, etc. Yeah, of course it can. But a lot of the time it can bring anxiety, unhappiness, and not being able to have the freedom to do what you want. And obviously I've seen that with clients, and it's not very nice.
I love that. I think that's a really good message to end the podcast on. The last question I ask all of my guests is, what piece of advice would you give your younger self?
This is a good one. This can be edited because I'm just taking time to.
No, it's fine. Everyone does this, Bradley. Everyone pauses for ages for this one.
For ages. What would I say to my younger self? Of course, I love being how ambitious and stuff I was. Maybe take on people's criticisms a bit more and plan. Certainly. And don't give so much commitment to, I guess, other people and. Focus when in your early 20s and your youngsters, focus on yourself first. Put yourself first, for sure. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with giving everyone all your commitment and your support, but don't neglect yourself, for sure. That's going a bit deep. That's a bit deep, but it's true.
No, it's not deep at all. I think it's really good. Like, definitely criticism is the only way you learn. Constructive criticism is the only way you learn. Only way you get better is through feedback. What did you say? What was the middle one?
No, I think having a vision, but planning and then putting it into action. I just had a vision and put it straight into action.
Definitely, just winged it a bit.
Yeah. If I'd done things like I'm doing them now when I was younger, I think I could be a lot more successful than I am now, for sure.
But again, massive lesson, and you'll get there. It's just taking a bit longer, which is fine. Like, there's no rush when you're not racing anyone.
No, I'm not racing anyone.
And I know what you mean. I know you've put a lot of people on the platform, giving everyone a leg up, and I think that just highlights your good nature, Bradley. Like, you're not out just for yourself, but now you're thinking about number one, and I love that you're reading these books now and you're taking like your self-development and your mental health a lot more seriously. And I think it's gonna be a game changer. I think the next 5 years are gonna be your best yet. So
yeah, 100%. I think the next 6 months are gonna be exciting, for sure.
Yeah, amazing. Brad, thank you so much for being a guest.
Cheers, Colin.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.